in America, we're going through a period of unusual political divisiveness. And I think it's very easy to conclude from that that ordinary Americans are as divided as their politicians are. And if you go talk to ordinary Americans, you discover this is not true.
Hi, my name is Bill Locke, and I'm the publisher of Colby Times. This summer, I had the great pleasure of talking to the best-selling author and journalist Malcolm Gladwell, who in recent years has also started creating podcasts. I began our conversation by asking him about some of his personal highlights from this experience.
What would be one of the highlights from doing the podcast?
The ability to reinvent yourself at the age of 50 is kind of fun. It's surprising. It's a surprisingly different kind of art form than writing for print. I had thought it was going to be quite similar, and I was happily proved wrong. It's much more of a team effort, which is something that I've realized I really love. And you tell different kinds of stories. You know, you're much more dependent and invested in the people that you're talking about because you need their voice. Whereas when you're writing for print, someone's not present in the same way. You know, a lot of my work is concerned with, particularly my recent book, is about the importance of humility and caution in making sense of other people, strangers. But that's a theme that runs through a lot of my work. The reason that you expose the complicated roots of something is that you're trying to instruct people to be wary of making hasty conclusions or superficial readings of things that are going on around them.
What led you to write your latest book, Talking to Strangers?
The specific thing that led me to write it was this kind of heartbreaking story of a woman, you know, pulled over on a routine traffic stop in Texas, and who ends up dead in her cell 2 days later. It was one of the more high profile of that wave of police cases that caught everyone's attention a few years back. More generally, it was that I came to understand that problem, that problematic encounter that she had, was in some sense typical, in the sense that many of the high profile cases that concern us and trouble us are examples of the same thing, which is they are examples of the fact that the modern world throws us into contact increasingly with people we know nothing about, and that we are ill-equipped for those kinds of encounters. Because we are, by nature, trusting, appropriately trusting individuals, and that's how we have built a modern functioning society, that innate level of, that default to trust, that makes us easy to be deceived. Deception is not a result of us failing at the task of being human. It is the result of us succeeding at the task of being human. The cost of being a functional, trusting, productive member of society is that you will inevitably be deceived. And we should stop jumping up and down with outrage whenever people are deceived. Being deceived is the most human of traits. You know, there are many reasons, for example, to go to church on Sunday morning. There's a religious and a spiritual reason. There's also a social reason. And that is that what a church is and historically been is a place where people who may disagree during the week come to agree on Sunday. It is one of those experiences that reminds you that people are not hopelessly divided, that on the things that really matter, they're in fundamental agreement. And there are a lot of things that function that way in civil society. And I think it's very important for us to keep those institutions alive, because they are the ones that balance this account of the world and powerfully remind us that all is not lost and we are not hopelessly divided.